in the text. So, does that matter? I guess not. Verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused. See that? Accused unto him, the rich man, that he had wasted the rich man's goods. And he called the steward and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. He's put out. Maybe that's the justification. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I'm ashamed. I got my thoughts going on about that. Verse 4, I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And that one said, 100 measures of oil. And the steward said unto him, take your bill and sit down quickly and write me a check for 50. Then said he to another of the stewards, under the stewards, and how much owest thou the rich man? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And the steward that was out of office said unto that man, take out your check and write me a check for 80 of it. He assumed that he had more, was more capable of paying more than the last guy. And then verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. There it is. Because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous manner, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Then, summary, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Are material things. Mammon. Material things. You cannot serve God and material things. Now Jesus, in his wisdom, gives us a very deep parable. The meaning of the parable is not on the surface. Not on the surface at all. And because most of us deal with things on the surface, we never get down to the real meaning of things. But the meaning is deep within the parable. There's a lot of truth deep within this parable. Now, the rich man, of course, is the man in charge. We could think of him as God. We don't have to. Doesn't really say he's telling a parable about eternal life. He's telling a parable to teach them so many things. Now, the steward is working for the rich man, and the steward is accused by outsiders, which doesn't necessarily mean that he is a crook, that he's wasted the rich man's goods. The evidence of us believing that is that the man took him out of office. So the owner calls him to account, says, hey, we've got to have a settlement. And so the steward, he said, I'm in trouble now. I was doing pretty good off this. You know, it wasn't making any profit. It wasn't making any money. It wasn't paying the bills. But I was living pretty good. That could be the justification of the unjustness of the steward. You got to give an account. You're no longer to be stewards. I think we could stop there and understand that one day we're all going to give an account to God. I think the parable would teach us that. We're all going to give an account, not only of our eternal life, but of what we've done in this world. And then there's going to be a time that we're no longer in charge of anything. Those of you who are getting older are starting to understand that you're losing, aren't you? Somebody else is taking it over. And that's just a way of life that you never think about till you get older. You just don't. I don't buy 30-year shingles anymore. About 15 is all I need. Now, the steward understands something about himself. As unjust as he might be, he understands some things about himself. He said, I got fired. I've got to accept it. There's nothing I can do about it. I don't have a job anymore. I got to figure something out. This guy is thinking. And one of the things I think Jesus is teaching us is that we don't need to go have a pity party and say, God, help me. We need to be doing something in the process of saying, God, help me. So verse 3, then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I'm ashamed. He's either an old man or a lazy man, right? You tell me. He's either an old man or a lazy man. A lazy man can't dig. The Bible tells us in the book of Proverbs that the lazy man will not plow when it's cold. Oh, it's too cold out to plow. I'll just wait. And then he has no, when it's time to plant, he's not ready to plant. And he has no harvest in the fall. Jesus is actually teaching us a truth about this world, that we're in this world, and we're going to have to participate with the rules of the world so that we can succeed or at least feed ourselves and have the things we need that are necessary in this world. That's some of the deep, deep understanding of the parable. It really is not teaching about eternal life. It's teaching about our life in this world. Now, the man knows himself. He said, I'm lazy, unable to dig, I'm too proud to beg. I mean, he's you know, he's unjust there. But he said, I may be a crook, I may be a bad manager, but I know I need to do something now. And he gets up off his duff, and he says, here's what I got. I got a plan. Do you have a plan? Don't throw your hands up and give up in life. You need to come up with some kind of an idea. Don't run to the sources and get your help. Run to God and figure out what am I going to do? I got to do something. Put it on yourself. As I said, deep in this parable are the lessons. He has a plan. Now, what got him in trouble? What got him in trouble? We don't know, do we? I'll make some suggestions of possibilities. Maybe he hadn't been collecting the debt. That's possible. They was just letting people just take advantage of the opportunity, not going out. He was living it up on what he could get, not worried about what the rich man wanted, just letting them accumulate debt. Maybe he was collecting the debt but not paying the master. That'd be more likely, wouldn't it? That'd make him unjust. Maybe he had a problem with the American problem, runaway spending, 34, 35, can't hardly keep up with it. Going to start counting them off like $100 bills now. Runaway spending, maybe that's the problem. You know, could the parable be teaching us that we need to take care of our responsibility? If somebody owes, you need to collect the debt. And if you owe a debt and you collect $100, but you spent $50 to accumulate that $50, you better go pay that $50 that you owe so you can go earn another $100, right? Deep things about life. Jesus. Well, maybe his numbers didn't work out. He just had a budget and things got more expensive and he didn't collect enough to pay the bill. We could all be there, couldn't we? Or maybe he just wasted it. Just wasted it. We don't know. But the wisdom of Jesus is teaching us that we need to learn from the mistakes, learn from the failures within the parable. And my goal is not to help you get to heaven with this, but to help you live a Christian life that would respect a good testimony for Jesus, that other people might see Christ in you and say, I want to be a part of the Christian life. Now, he has a plan. Look at verse 4. He said, I am resolved. This guy don't give up. He's not pitching in. He said, I'm resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, I'm going to wait I'm gonna suck up all I can till I have to. Unjust again. They may receive me into their houses. Wow. He said, I'm going to go to the people. Verse 5, he said, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou the Lord? I mean, you know, this guy's too lazy to dig, too proud to beg, but he's got some talent. And he starts to use it. Here's my plan. I got a plan. He says, I'm going to call all the debtors together. I'm going to get what I can out of it. He asked them, how much do you owe? How much do you owe? See, look at it. He's out of it. He doesn't have any income, no source of income. But he's got a plan. He goes out and he said, how much do you owe the rich man? And so give me what you can spare today. I need what. He didn't get it all. Have you ever had somebody owe you a bill and you couldn't get it all? You take what you get. You better do it today. Don't say they'll pay you next Friday. They won't work. Take what you can get today. Now, verse 6, the man said, I owe 100 measures of oil. And the steward said unto him, take your check out and sit down quickly and write me a check for 50. He did this to all the debtors. Verse 7, then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take out your checkbook and write me an $80 check for 100 you owe. Now, here's the deal. The steward is commended by Jesus. In the story, the parable. Now listen, this is a story. It's made up. Didn't happen. Jesus making this up. I'm telling. And it's so intertwined, it's hard to get the messages. There are many. Verse 8, he said, and the Lord, the rich man, commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generations wiser than the children of light. Now, I want you to take verse 8 home, and I want you to get your prayer life together. I want you to do your devotional time, and I want you to meditate on that verse. I want you to meditate on that verse. And it doesn't mean anything about eternal life, but means everything about our testimony in this world. The Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. This failure done wisely. Then here's the statement. I want you to read the comment. For the children of this world. Who's he talking about? Lost people. Unsaved people. He said unsaved people are in their world wiser than the children of light. Now listen, Jesus had a group of people been following him around. And the only way they had, they couldn't go to the Red Lobster, they couldn't go to Texas Roadhouse. The only way they're getting fed Jesus is feeding them. And they're just traveling around, listening to him speak. He said, you need to learn something from the people that are not even following me about how to survive in this world. It's such a twisted story, isn't it? But it's got such a true message that Christians that are devoted to Christ need to understand that loving God, living for God, is not going to pay your bills. It's not going to pay your bills. You have to get involved with that old carnal world. You got to go out there and work with people that a cuss word comes out of their mouth, every other word. You're going to go out there and live in a world that tells stories that you don't like now, you used to like then. And you'll like them again maybe if you're not careful. You got to live in this generation, in this world. And you have to be a light to the world. The unsaved people are so often wiser than people that are saved. Okay. Hey, I got that salvation thing down. I didn't do anything to get it. I trusted Jesus. Got it. Praise God, I got the main thing handled. But now, I need to handle this, my testimony in this world. All right? What does the parable teach us? Well, the first thing I wrote down five things in point one of what does the parable teach us. It tells us that if you're saved, you need to learn how to live successfully in the world. Secondly, I pull from this that your situation in life may be a mess. But you can step back and take a look at it and figure out a plan, and God will enable you to get from where you are to where you need to be. I got that from the parable. Third thing I got from the parable, if everything looks bleak and just doesn't look like it's going to happen at all, don't throw in the towel and give up. Be creative. Figure out a plan. And if you are too lazy to work, and if you're too proud to beg, you ought to probably be too proud to beg, right? Get up off your rump and go to work. That's not popular. I didn't get one amen on that. And then I think I said also that all of us are unjust stewards if we really think about it. We're not as good as we think we are. Number six to this lessons I've learned here is start today reconciling the mess that you created in the past. Can I glean that from the parable? Start today. Make it a priority in your life to reconcile the mess that you've created. Have you ever made a mess? Yes, you have. You know, here's the problem. You don't realize you're making a mess when you're making a mess. You got to get older, and then you look back and say, man, I made a mess of that. I remember one time I thought I did everything right. It was a terrible day when I come to realize only by the grace of God did I get anything right. How many's old enough to get there? Praise God. Now, five lessons that are spiritual truths, are eternal truths that we need to glean from the story of this steward. Number one, I'm not going to keep you long because this is Cinco de Mayo day. We need to get to the Mexican restaurant early today. If you don't think that's part of what I'm doing today, you better wake up. Number one, and we're going to hold y'all late while I leave. Yeah. Somebody give a testimony. Hold them over. Number one, every one of us are a steward. You don't own anything. You say, I own that house up there on that property. No, it's just on loan to you for a while. Somebody else is going to own it eventually. You know, I'm gonna build a house of my dreams. Yeah, and you're not going to live it long either. Life's going to pass faster than you realize. We are only stewards of the stuff that God has given us. And it is God that gave us the stuff. And yes, if you work hard and you play by the rules and play hard by the rules, and I'm talking about God's rules, that you will prosper from that. You say, well, God will just pour me out a blessing that I have not room enough to receive it. He won't if you're irresponsible. You got to take life responsibly. And as long as God leaves you here, you got to do something with your life in this world. That's why we encourage the kids to get an education. Get an education. If you've got a bright child in your house, follow that education. It's more important than sports. It's more important than drama. Hey, get them educated. It's important. I didn't get an amen on that. Amen. Thank you for that little bitty amen. Now, we're stewards. We're stewards of all of it. It all belongs to God, and someday we're going to give an account to it. All of it, every day. By the way, we're dealing with other people's stuff as stewards, aren't we? First of all, it's God's stuff. But let me say this while we're here. You're driving down the road, and you see on the side of the road, something fell out of somebody's truck, and it's of $50 value. That's not yours. That's not yours. You should try to find out who it belongs to. And if it's tools within 5 miles of here, it's probably mine. I'm looking for my wrenches right now. Look for the person it belongs to. Do I have to teach that? No, but some of us need to hear that, don't we? You find a $100 bill on the floor in the grocery store. Look how God blessed me. No, God didn't bless you. Somebody dropped $100 out of their pocket. You know how God's going to bless you? How you handle that $100. I'll tell you what. We're stewards, and we're going to give an answer. We need to respect other people's stuff. You borrow somebody's truck, you borrow somebody's lawn chair, bring it back to them. I'm looking for a sander right now. No, I'm not joking. Stewardship requires honesty, and it requires responsibility, and it may cost you something. How many have said this? I wish I'd never borrowed it. Now I got to buy them one, and then I still don't have one. Right. Stewardship requires honesty and responsibility. Verse 10. Isn't this terrible if you got all your spiritual ducks in order but don't have the physical things in order? Isn't it just terrible? Look at verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust in the much. You know, take care of the big stuff. It's not telling you not to take, but it's telling you you need to take care of the little stuff too. The stuff that are not eternal, the things that are just a part of this life. You know, you may have to go out and mow your yard for your testimony's sake. If you do, make sure to throw it out in the highway, the grass. You need to respect other people's stuff. Amen? Now, the blessing of good stewardship is an opportunity to have more stuff to be stewardship over. Look at verse 11. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous material things, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you want God to use you, be responsible. Be responsible. If you want God to use you, be responsible. Just all this to it. Do you desire to manage more stuff? Be responsible of what you have to manage. You want more? Look at verse 12. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Think about that. You know, some people want it all now, but you're not ready for all now. You need to just be a good steward of where you are and what you are. And God will give you greater opportunities. Do a good job where you're at. And then the second point here, after stewardship, we're all stewards. We don't own it. We got to be responsible for it. The second one, faithfulness is paramount in stewardship. Faithfulness is paramount in stewardship for a Christian. You want to please God, you want to succeed, you got to be faithful. That's what 10 to 12 is teaching us. Verses 10 to 12. And then I always like to throw in this verse, 1 Corinthians 4:2. Go ahead and shoot that up on the screen, Dave. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Faithfulness in all things is required of a Christian to be a good steward. It's paramount. You can't replace it. You just got to learn to be faithfulness. And I can't believe he ain't there yet. He's always first one there before I even get there. I'm about to turn it, right? This is my memory. I just can't get it quoted. But we need to be faithful in all things. Faithful in all things. In school, in training, in your surrender to God's will. Be faithful to those things. And faithfulness not only to show up, but it's to show up prepared. And then when you make a commitment, you need to keep that commitment. Keep that commitment. Don't be one that is not responsible. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Write that down in your Bible. Faithfulness, take care of the small things. There it is. Moreover, it's required in the steward that a man be found faithful. That's a life verse right there. No excuses. If you make a commitment, stick to it. Don't double book yourself. Be responsible. I know one time I had an evangelist booked here at the church, and he called me up, and he was a big evangelist. He said, you know, I've got an opportunity to really go to a big meeting here, and I've already got you booked here. He said, do you want to continue to have this meeting? He said, I will keep my appointment with you, a small church, but if you are not serious with it, I want to go do this thing. I'll let him go. But it was responsible of him to call me. Amen? Doesn't matter what the job is, be faithful to the job. We have a life on earth worth living, and we need to live it responsibly. We got to be responsible, faithful. Faithful over small things makes you faithful over big things. Number four, you cannot serve two masters. You can't. Look at verse 13. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, God and material things. You cannot. Folks, you know Jesus needs to be the Lord of it all. Now, as Lord of it all, he wants you to be responsible to your commitments, your responsibilities. So, you don't use God as an excuse to get out of things. You got to learn that you cannot serve two masters. God first. Jesus first. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. And then the fifth thing today from this lesson. One day we'll all give an account. A personal, individual account. You and I will stand before God individually, probably alone, to give an account to God. Before him we'll stand. It is appointed unto man, every one of us, it is appointed that we will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And on 1 Corinthians 3, verses 13 and 15, it teaches us that we're going to be rewarded for the things we did responsibly, and we're going to suffer loss for the things we neglected. Lord, we're going to give an account. We're going to stand before God. That's true. It doesn't matter if you're saved or not. Are you ready to stand before God? Now, first thing to get ready is know Jesus as your Savior. Have you been saved? Do you know Christ? Are you a Christian? Have you been born again? The Bible said it is appointed unto man once to die. After this, the judgment. Are you saved? Are you living for Christ? And then, how are you taking care of the responsibilities of life? All right, so you got parents. Are you taking care of your parents like you need to? Hey, you say, well, that's not my problem. Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. They took care of you when you couldn't take care of you. Now maybe they can't take care of them. Are you taking care of them? Are you taking care of those things which are responsible for, you're responsible for? The parable of the unjust steward. Like him, one day, we'll be done with this stewardship. And like him, one day, we'll stand before the God of all the earth and give an account. Now listen, he made a mess. He made a mess. But he didn't stop there. He corrected it as much as possible, and the Lord commended him. He said, preacher, I made a mess. Well, get out of your pity party. And get your shoes on, and get your hands ready to get dirty, and with God's help, fix it. You say, Jesus is going to fix it? No, Jesus don't fix it for you. Jesus enables you to fix it. Fix it. Let's bow our heads. Our heads are bowed, our pianists, musicians come. Let's all quietly stand with our heads bowed. I want to say to you this. The most important thing is life, to know where you're going to spend eternity. Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? I want, right now our heads are bowed. I want you with me. Just lift your hand up as a testimony. Preacher, I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. If I die today, I know I'd go to heaven. Lift your hand up. Pastor, I know I'm going to heaven if I die today. Many of us could not raise our hands. Today is the day of salvation. Now is accepted time. Would you come out of that seat right now and meet me here at this altar and give your life to Christ? turn from yourself and turn to Him, would you come right now as we give this invitation? Would you come? Would you come? Would you give your life to Christ and trust Him as your Lord, as your Savior? Most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Would you give your life to Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior? For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you would believe on Him, you should not have to perish, but that you could have eternal life. Would you come? Would you trust Jesus as your Savior? Would you come? Have you trusted Jesus Christ? If you died today, where would you spend eternity? To Thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. I want to say, as our ushers come, I want to share this with you. Now listen, folks. Things have not changed one ounce in the last 2,000 years. If you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you have not trusted that He died on that cross for your sin and put your faith in Him, you are going to be separated from God for all of eternity. Not because God put you there, but because you chose to go your own way. Now God gives us a real free will to rather to choose Him or to reject Him. And if you're not a Christian, you're rejecting Him. And I want to tell you, most important warning I ever give you, you need to give your life to Christ and trust Him as your Savior to escape the punishment of hell. But not only for that, the blessings that God has for you if you do trust Christ as your Savior. Oh, don't overlook the blessings. But I want to encourage you, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. When I was a kid, I knew automatically, the time I was 5 years old, without Christ, I'm going to hell. But I'm afraid young people today don't realize that. You've been soft-soaked. You've been lied to. You've been told there ain't no God. You've been told there ain't no hell if there is a God. You've been told all this bunch of lies. And I'm telling you, it's absolute truth. You need to get saved. And if you don't believe in hell, you absolutely need to get saved. I don't care if you said you've been saved already. If you don't believe in hell, you need to get saved. Not re-saved, saved the first time. Amen. All right, let's pray. Then we'll have a little testimony. Shannon, lead us in prayer.